Greetings to everyone, brothers and sisters in the churches all over the world where they are watching us, where they are listening to us, where they are going to watch this sermon. May all of you receive many blessings from the Almighty God, the powerful God, the God from on high, the God who created us with his powerful hand, that God that manifested himself in antiquity to his servants, the prophets, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and gave laws and taught the way, his way to follow. And today we are here in his presence, and we want to follow that path. We want to follow those commandments and to fulfill all of those orders that God taught those servants, those people in antiquity. For us, it's an ancient time, but for God, time doesn't exist. For him, all moments are the same. Therefore, that is why we feel very proud, because we have this living God of power that manifests himself. Just as Brother Carlos Alberto said, this is the only church where God manifests himself, where God speaks, he guides us, he leads us, he teaches us, he comforts us. He teaches us his doctrine, his word. He has made himself known to us. Who are we? Who are we? We are not worthy. But the privilege that God has given us is so great, so that we may enjoy of him, of his presence. We give thanks to our God. We give thanks because people all of those people who want and wish to know a supernatural being, to know further than what their eyes can see or what their ears hear, all they need to do is to call upon that great and powerful God who knows it all and resolves it all. That great God who is there, attentive to prayers and to the cries of those who fear him, of those who seek him with all of their hearts. Therefore, we are here striving and seeking our God with all of our hearts and with all of our strength. And he has manifested himself wonderfully, working miracles and wonders, blessing many, healing many, comforting, guiding, protecting from evil, from danger. Therefore, we give thanks to that powerful God that we have known, that God that we are preaching, the glory and the honor are for him. And you all may be seated, brothers and sisters who are here with me today, and welcome all. Welcome to the first-time guests. Welcome those who are newcomers as well in the congregation. And I invite you so that you may congregate, that you may not just log on through the internet to watch and to hear the sermon, but that you may try to find a congregation the closest to you where you live, so that God may speak to you, so that God may comfort you and guide you and lead you down the path that you need to follow and how you must proceed. And in this way, you will receive that blessing from heaven, the blessing from our God. Therefore, you are all cordially invited to congregate in the churches. And here, we are studying and we are reading or analyzing here in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the experiences and the encounters that they, the early church, the first disciples, the first apostles, went through in the preaching of the word of the Lord. We find many things that are similar to what happens to us today in our spiritual life. Therefore, we are convinced that our God is the same as yesterday, the same one who spoke yesterday, The same one who established commandments, statutes, orders. That same God is the same one today. Yesterday that God spoke to many people and made wonderful promises. Today, he also does the same. That is why he is the same yesterday and today. He does the same. He manifests himself the same way. He does not change. He hasn't changed. For him, time does not exist. For us, it does. But we feel very happy of having that powerful God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. We need to reflect when we read the Bible. Reflect upon those writings so that we are able to understand and comprehend what is written. Not to read it like literature, like common literature, but to analyze it. Before, I was taught to memorize the verses in the Bible, and so I would memorize that verse. For example, God or Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's it. But I didn't understand what the same meant. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I didn't understand until now. Now, when God begins, he has begun for some years now to teach us his doctrine, that is when we understand the depth of these verses, of this important news that the Lord has written in the Bible, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. Thanks be to God. He spoke to Abraham and made promises, and he fulfilled some, and others were to be fulfilled, and today he is fulfilling them. Therefore, today also, God speaks to us and makes us promises. Some are fulfilled immediately. Others, we need to wait some time for the fulfillment. But he is the same yesterday and today. Glory to our God. Let us open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 15. And we are going to be reading carefully. And also analyzing that we find nothing new there that we don't already know or haven't already lived with our wonderful God. And it says here, and certain men came down from Judea. Here, in my Bible, there is a subtitle within the chapter called the Jerusalem Council. We know that in Jerusalem, the first church was established. There the apostles began to preach the gospel, and they preached in synagogues. They preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And the reading goes as follows. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, some who came from Judea were Jews, and they had converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had become Christians. They were listening to the gospel of the Lord, and they believed. They were water baptized, and they received the Holy Spirit, and most likely received the spiritual gifts. But they were not able to understand that they needed to change now the custom they had, or the tradition, or the ritual, or the commandments of Moses. That these things were not necessary for each person's spiritual life, because the gospel and the Holy Spirit came to cover everything, to fill everything, and it wasn't necessary for them to practice the customs of the law of Moses. For example, we are going to continue reading, and they said, you need to be circumcised. They had not understood although they have received and had converted and had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, yet they said, you need to be circumcised in order to be saved. They had not understood that circumcision was a symbol. It was a symbol that when God ordered Moses that all needed to be circumcised to belong to the people of Israel, to become Israelites, they did not understand that that circumcision that God ordered them at that time, when he ordered that, it was more of the heart. Yes, it was something physical that he ordered, but he told them that they needed to circumcise their heart. Because that physical, material circumcision that they would do, or that God ordered them to do, to males, it symbolized sin. It symbolized the spot in the spiritual life, that person's sin, the sin that a person was constantly practicing. And in the gospel of the Lord, the Holy Spirit began to teach that we needed to circumcise our heart, in other words, to change our life. The Lord tells the person, you have believed in me. You want to follow my way, the good tidings of salvation, the perfect gospel. Therefore, you need to circumcise your heart. That means repent. Do not sin anymore. Do not continue to sin. You must change. You must live a holy life. That is circumcision. And here, these certain men that came down from Judea to teach the brothers, they did not understand that teaching, that doctrine. They had not understood that figure of speech, that metaphor, that symbol that God had given in antiquity, and that now in the gospel, they needed to remove this. This custom needed to be removed. They had not understood it, and that is why they said, you need to be circumcised. And in verse 2, we are going to see Paul, what was the decision of the apostles. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, let's imagine those dissensions and disputes of doctrine, how they must have been like. We can imagine that. It says that Paul and Barnabas determined that they should go up to Jerusalem with others who were with them, the apostles that were with them, to go to them about this question. As we can see, Paul and Barnabas, they could not find a solution to this matter. And they said, let's go to Jerusalem to talk to the elders and with the other apostles, to see what the conclusion would be. Do they circumcise themselves or not? Verse 3, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy to all the brethren. As we can see, the Gentiles now were partaking of the wonderful blessings of the Lord. Now the gospel was being preached to them, the Gentiles. Not only was it for the Jews or for the people of Israel, the Gentiles as well, the promise was for them. And in verse 4 it says, and when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. And they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up. So here we see that in the sect of the Pharisees, when the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching the Gospels talk about a division among the Jews, which were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so it says here that of the sect of the Pharisees, some converted to the gospel of the Lord. It says, of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Here we see how they had not understood this doctrine about circumcision. They had not understood that circumcision was a symbol that God had established in antiquity so that in the gospel it would be the Holy Spirit to be the one to cleanse people's hearts and for people to transform and change themselves and turn away from sin. They did not understand this doctrine. We see how the doctrine, God was teaching it little by little. It was not from one moment to another, from one day to another, that he taught the doctrine, but little by little, they were living the experiences, they were beginning to understand and comprehend, and the Holy Spirit was teaching them. I think that the Lord did it this way because it was according to the disciples' ability to understand. After having practiced a religion of thousands of years, it was difficult to change this from one day to another. So the Lord waited, and little by little, he began to open their mind and giving them the understanding and discernment so that they would comprehend this wonderful doctrine. The same thing happens to us today, because there are many people who have been in many different religions, and in every religion they have taught them different doctrines, different ways, and each person has given their own human interpretation, their own interpretation, and so people are saturated with knowledge that isn't the upright way of the Lord. And God, always in his promise, said that he was going to be teaching doctrine, that he was going to be revealing it, but that we needed to press on, and that is how the Lord has done it. To this day, he has been revealing his doctrine little by little to us as well. To us who have begun the way in this church that God has allowed and founded after such an odyssey and so many works and difficulties that many people lived who sought the Lord and God would give them the gifts and the spiritual things, but there was no one to support them, to guide them, to lead them or teach them. So people did not know what to do because the leaders of their religions, they would teach something different. And so believers would receive the things of God, but they couldn't do anything more. But God was always in their hearts, those who were sincere and sought the Lord from those 2,000 years and on. And so we see here how God slowly teaches his doctrine according to our spiritual growth, according to our spiritual maturity that we acquire, that we are acquiring. Thanks be to our God. This is a promise that God has made many people, many. We can say to everyone, I will teach you doctrine. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Simply read the Bible and I will teach you. Glory to our God. That is what the Lord did at that time here with the apostles. And we continue here in verse number, if you can help me, 8. And it says, So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. So the apostles were saying, we preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and they received the Holy Spirit, the same thing he did with us. What does this mean? That God is not going to be partial, and he is going to form a people of many peoples and nations. He will be forming his people and giving them the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, and made no distinction between us and them, the Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith, the belief of the gospel. Glory be to the Lord. So he's saying that the Lord purified the hearts of the Gentiles through their faith. In other words, for having believed in Jesus Christ as the Savior, the one sent by God. And in verse 10, it says, now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear after thousands of years? He says there's a yoke. The law of Moses is a yoke, he said. And he says, why do you test God by putting a yoke, a burden, on those who have believed in the gospel, a yoke that the fathers, who were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 sons of Jacob, they were the fathers. And it says that they themselves were not able to bear that yoke that God put on them through Moses' mouth. They were not able to bear that yoke. It was a burden. It was something difficult. And he says, no one. Now that the Lord has come with the gospel, the Holy Spirit has come to give us deliverance, to remove us from bondage, that yoke of bondage. Now you want to go back? Turn back once again to put a yoke on these believers? It shouldn't be this way. Things aren't this way. It's the way in which the apostles were teaching them. And here in verse 11, it says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. So here it says that the prophet Amos, in chapter 9, verse 11 to 12, prophesied the following. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. After what? After the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple of the Lord that Solomon had built, and after the Lord having sent the Babylonian army to destroy them all, he says, after this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David. David had died many years before, but here it was talking about that spiritual David, the Messiah, the Savior. And so it says, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild, it says, I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up. I will set it up. And that's what happened. It occurred. But how many centuries went by? Many centuries. Many centuries went by for this to be fulfilled when the Lord Jesus came. So this prophecy from Amos was fulfilled. It says, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name. Thanks be to our God, how he had mercy of the Gentiles. We consider ourselves to be Gentiles. And thanks be to our God, who looked upon us with merciful eyes to give us all salvation, all of those who believe and want glory to God. And it says, says the Lord, who does all these things. That is the prophecy of Amos of that time, and the Lord was fulfilling it. And that is why the apostles were telling everyone that the Lord had promised that he would be rebuilding his tabernacle once again, that he would be repairing all of the ruins, everything that was destroyed. But of course, it was a spiritual rebuilding. It was the church of the Lord, the tabernacle of the Lord, the hearts of the people who have converted to God and loves God with all of their heart and they follow him. The heart of these people have turned into the tabernacle of our God. Glory be to the Lord. That is what he was repairing once again. The Lord Jesus came for that reason. He came to cleanse. He came to rescue what was lost and to rescue and to save and to comfort. Glory to our God. And in verse 19, it says, therefore, I judge, he says, here the apostle was speaking, therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. The only thing that is left from the law of Moses, which they should fulfill, which was to turn away from idols, to turn away from sexual immorality that existed, which was a spiritual fornication, but also a physical one, and also to avoid consuming strangled animals, because perhaps that animal was strangled and the blood wasn't drained from them. And so an animal that died strangled was not to be consumed, and to avoid drinking blood or consuming blood. That was the only thing that was carried over from the law of Moses and is still valid today to fulfill, to do the will of our God. The apostles clearly taught that they needed to turn away from these things, but everything else, forget about fulfilling the rules of the law of Moses. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to transform the person's life. He transforms their heart, and he will make it so that the person may live a righteous life before the Lord. Because before, God tested the people for obedience. He set laws and physical material laws so that they would fulfill them, and whoever fulfilled them would be blessed. But no one was able to fulfill it because it was a burden, it was a difficult yoke to carry. And so the Holy Spirit today helps every one of us to change and to be transformed. That is what's beautiful. And we give thanks to the Lord because we have someone to help us change. The Holy Spirit helps us. And we give thanks to our God because as human beings, we wouldn't be able to do the same. We wouldn't be able to do anything before our God. Well, after the apostles solve the matter with this explanation, they understand things this way. In verse 22, it says, then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. All of these people were prophets. They were prophets, but not prophets like in antiquity as Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, or Hosea, but they were prophets of the gospel, of the good tidings of salvation, of that word preached by the Lord Jesus Christ, of what the apostles were there preaching about, teaching, and they themselves were clothed with that power from on high. They had these wonderful gifts, and these prophets, their mission was going to be very different. They were no longer prophesying about the coming of the Messiah. They were no longer going to prophesy these things. They were no longer going to prophesying that God was going to restore the temple, the tabernacle, that he was going to be restoring the ruins, what was lost. No, they were going to be prophesying about the personal life of every believer. prophesying the blessings that God has for his believers, for his church, for his congregation, prophesying about the well-being and peace that he would be giving everyone, health, material blessings. All of that was the mission or duty of those prophets. But these prophets did not exist just in that time. They were the first. And even to this day, we have prophets in the church. Glory to our God. And so we give thanks to our God because he is there. The Holy Spirit continues to be with us from that time. He has not gotten tired of working for over 2,000 years. The Holy Spirit has not become tired. He is there helping us. And we give thanks to the Lord. What joy, and we feel very proud of having known this way of our God. And here we continue to read. It says in verse 23, they wrote this letter by them. It says that they sent missionaries, we can say that, to Paul, Barnabas, Judas, Silas. And they wrote because that was the only way to communicate with others, to write letters, to write epistles. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. That was the heading of the letter. How long would it take for these messengers to give a letter or a message? How long? But today, here, it takes seconds. In seconds, we can send a letter or an email or a message in just seconds. That is technology. That is the advancement that God is giving. But at that time, they needed to begin with the little that they had at the time, to make use of all their resources. In verse 24, the letter says, since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. Glory to the Lord. This news, how long did this news take to arrive to that group, to those churches? A lot of time. To solve one problem, a lot of time had to pass. Well, let us continue here. It says in verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. They prayed to the Lord, and they asked God to reveal to them, to show them what the decision that they should make for this matter, which was very important. And he says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden. We are not going to force you to be circumcised. We are not going to force you to keep the law of Moses. It says, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And the necessary things were that you abstain from things offered to idols. Anything that involves idolatry. Because it wasn't just to abstain from what was sacrificed to idols, but also to turn away completely from idolatry. To turn away from all of those practices, those idolatrous practices, including witchcraft, sorcery, spiritualism, all of these things that the nations in antiquity would practice. And they would turn away from God, doing all of these things and sacrificing human beings to their gods. And so the Lord was very jealous teaching here to his disciples and his apostles the good way they needed to follow. And he says, abstain from things offered to idols, abstain from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. Because sexual immorality that existed also was a type that the Bible talks about in Ezekiel, where women were in the temple of Solomon in Jerusalem, in the temple that Solomon had built for our God. It says that they would, inside the temple, would build certain tents where everyone would go to fornicate in order to worship gods and to revere the gods. They needed to physically fornicate in the physical act. And so it says that physical act was worshiping their gods, and they would do it in the temple of God. That is how they defiled the temple of God. So that fornication existed as a way to worship the idols, that physical fornication. And also that physical fornication, but idolatry itself, although the person did not do that act before their God, if they followed the idols and they believed in it, they were also fornicating in the spiritual sense, because they were changing the true God for dead gods, for stones or for figures made of wood or things that were physical and material that can be destroyed. So that type of fornication existed at that time. We don't know. They probably do still exist, but we flee from that and we no longer care, because we are preaching the true gospel and the way of the Lord. And we are hoping, if they practice these things today, that they may repent, turn away, and seek the true God. And here it also says that all of these things, it says, and from sexual immorality, if you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell, it says. May God bless you. That is what the apostles were trying to say. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. So the group left with that letter, with that mail, with that message. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. Here it summarizes it, because they probably spent months to reach their destination. 31. When they had read it, the letter, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words, with revelations, with prophecy. All of the brothers and sisters were comforted, and they confirmed the doctrine and confirmed that the belief that they had at that moment was the true one, to press on believing in Jesus Christ, seeking that gospel of the kingdom of heaven, which was the truth of God. And surely they prophesied to them, and the Holy Spirit would make promises through them to all of those people, and they received the word of the Lord, the comfort. They received the promises, the blessings, everything that God gives. Because when the Lord speaks to a person, he gives many blessings, spiritual ones, material ones. The person has peace and happiness. We give thanks to the King. And so they received all of these things there. And it says that with many words, these prophets were there working and fulfilling their mission that they were entrusted with. And verse 33, and after they had stayed there for a time, because they had to stay there for a while, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. 34. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. He decided to stay there for some more time, so that the Lord would continue strengthening the hearts and the souls of those who had believed. Thanks be to our God. That is what our God does today as well. The Lord today uses his children to visit believers, to visit churches, and to bring words of comfort, to bring the presence of the Lord, God's support, and a word of hope for each heart and life that is suffering and is sad. That is what our God does today. And when we pray, for example, when there is a general prayer where we aren't able to lay hands because that's impossible as a human being to lay hands on 2,000, 3,000 people, we do a general prayer and God begins to work miracles and wonders in the believers. To those who believe, who trust, who have faith, those who seek, those who are thirsty to do and fulfill the word of God perfectly. So the Lord blesses them all. That is what God does. When someone listens attentively to the word of God, God blesses them immediately. That is what happens today as well. It wasn't just at that time with those apostles or prophets. But today, our God does these things as well. Today, there are many testimonies of all of the manifestation of our God in everyone's lives. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. The power of our God. He is the same yesterday and today. Blessed is the Lord. And it says in verse 35, Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. There were many apostles, many prophets at that time. Glory to the Lord. In verse 36, it says, Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing. How beautiful, how wonderful that is. Today, we also visit the churches, but today it's easier because today we have airplanes. At that time, they needed to travel by sea, and it would take months to get to a place, and that is why when they arrived to a place, they would stay there for months, preaching and visiting the brothers and sisters, teaching doctrine, God manifesting himself with wonders and works to people. And it was difficult to move to different places, to different churches. Also, at that time, there were very few churches compared to today. I don't think at that time there were 1,500 churches, no. Like today, where more or less there are about 1,500, and it's difficult to visit all of them. It's difficult. But God is the one that visits them. The Holy Spirit is the one that is there with each person in each church. That divine shepherd is there, shepherding and supporting those who preach in every church, those who prophesy, those who lay hands. He is there. God is supporting them and the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And the prophets or prophetesses and the brothers and sisters who cannot visit you, you have that constant visit of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit. They enter the website and they log in to listen to a sermon or prayer, and God is there. Acting, he is there proceeding because he promised it. The Lord promised it, that he was going to manifest himself through videos, through audios, that he was going to manifest himself when people open the Bible and read it, that he would manifest in each person's life, that he would bless them. And the Lord has fulfilled it today. You see, all of these things that we live today, everything that we experience, were not experienced by the early apostles and prophets. They did not have these things, nor did the Holy Spirit speak to them through the internet because they wouldn't understand what that is. So today, the Lord is manifesting himself in this way through technology that he himself has given that knowledge to humans so that all of these things would be discovered and transformed. So we give thanks to our God because God does it all and he wants everyone to be evangelized so that no one may have a justification on the day of judgment. So we give thanks to our God for his mercy and love that he has with humankind. And we continue here, it says in verse 37, they said that they were going to go back and visit the brothers and sisters. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia. So here we see people having misunderstandings because there were many misunderstandings and arguments. It says, and had not gone with them to the work. These are things that aren't foreign to us. Because as human beings, there is a moment in life where we lack wisdom, where we lack maturity, or we lack knowledge, and we cannot proceed because we don't understand the language of our God. And we make mistakes. And so here, they had an argument where Paul was going to bring a brother, but they said no, they denied it. So what do we learn from this? That all of this happened. It was normal. It wasn't anything pleasant, nor did God say, it's okay for you to do it this way. The Lord teaches us today, and he tells us that we need to have harmony. The Lord says, you need to have harmony among all of the believers in the congregation. There needs to be harmony. There needs to be understanding. There needs to be love. There needs to be respect. Respect each other. There needs to be good manners when you address each other. Treat each other with kindness. Be patient. A lot of patience. To have a lot of patience with people, but also to resign yourself to God. Sometimes there are people who are difficult. The Lord says, have patience and teach them with love. Lay hands and pray for the person in order to avoid fights and avoid misunderstandings. As we see here that it happened. Today, surely it has happened, but the Lord is teaching us what we need to do in order to avoid these things and that we all may be walking together in harmony with our God, the harmony that he wants. And it says here in verse 39, it says before that Paul didn't agree with them taking John, but it says in verse 39, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. In other words, visiting the churches, strengthening, meaning that he was taken with the Holy Spirit, with the laying on of hands, with the gift of prophecy, with the gift of discernment, with the revelation that God had given them as prophets. They were there speaking to the people what the Holy Spirit had promised them, and God had made promises. And so they would say, they come back and they confirm that the Holy Spirit is there, that is the true church, that is the way to follow, that is the gospel, that is the word of the Lord, to not doubt, to press on, and to believe. That was the duty of those apostles. Glory be to the Lord. That is a very difficult job, but a job that today we don't realize when we have continued this work that God has given us. So God gives the spiritual gifts to many. The promise is for the entire congregation to receive the spiritual gifts, to receive the spiritual things. This is for the congregation that has that promise of God. And so all of us, as the Apostle Paul said, and if everyone prophesies and lays hands, then what is hidden in the person's heart manifests itself and God changes them and takes away that which isn't good, which is wrong, and that person is convinced that God truly is in that place. And when there are visitors from other people that go and confirm, someone comes with a spiritual gift of prophecy or the gift of discernment, revelation, they lay hands and they pray, and they say the same because it's the Holy Spirit. And so the same things are said, meaning that what God had promised them before is being confirmed when it was said by someone else from the congregation. And this person comes from afar, confirms the same things because God is one, because it's God who is manifesting himself, and because it's God who wants to bless his church. This is how our church is. This is how this congregation, this church named the Church of God, Ministry of Jesus Christ International, is. If you travel to Europe or Patagonia, and you will find that the Holy Spirit speaks through people who live there and they have believed and they are attending church and they pray for you and they say the same things that you heard here or in Colombia or in any other place or in Canada or wherever it may be. So the Holy Spirit confirms this and speaks the same things, and you say, God is speaking to me. God is with me. God is the one who addresses me. I need to press on. I need to believe and wait on him and do God's will. That's it. That's it. That is the congregation of God. That is the word of God, which is the Spirit of the Lord, the one who is shepherding his church, his congregation. And that God is the one that the Bible says who is the same yesterday and today. Glory to our powerful God. Therefore, we are going to be praying. We are going to be asking the Lord, giving thanks to God, and also asking the Lord for our needs, for the wishes of our heart, and illnesses, physical illnesses and mental illnesses. Your heart, what is in your heart, is worth a lot before God. Your prayer also has value before the Lord. Therefore, you, from the depth of your being, speak to the Lord, ask him, and you will see that he will answer you soon. Holy Father, Heavenly Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Eternal God, Creator of the heavens and earth, the only true God, powerful, thank you, Lord, because you have mercy of those who suffer, of those who have no comfort, of those who are sad, of those who lack of all that is basic. You are the comforting God for them, a God who has mercy, a righteous God in all your ways, where your promises are true and faithful, where your mercy endures forever. When a person presents themselves before you, you listen to their prayer, and you decide to bless them or not. But since we know that you are a God of love and mercy, we hope that you may always listen to their prayer. Of all those who present themselves before you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. I ask you, Lord, in these moments, in the name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, to extend your powerful hand upon people who are sick, who have different illnesses. Each one of them lists their illness before you. Everyone asks for the illness they are suffering, and you are listening. And also, Lord, for those who have suffered witchcraft, sorcery, and curses, And there are many tied down by the devil, by wicked spirits. Some cannot reason or organize their thoughts. Help each one of them, Lord. Have mercy on each one of them. Deliver, Lord. Break chains, spiritual bonds, and ties. Remove those curses. Extend your hand, my Lord, your mercy. Thank you, Holy Father, for listening to our prayer. We praise you and we give you the glory and honor. Thank you, Holy Father, for the blessings we've received. I pray to you for the first-time guests and newcomers that you may bless them as well, because they also have needs and petitions before you. And they need of you, and you will bless them. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. The glory and the honor be for our God. Amen. Glory to the Lord. Let us sing chorus 130, In My Heart There Rings a Melody.
Suenan melodías en mi ser, cantos de amor, loando al Salvador. Suenan melodías en mi ser, alabanzas a Jesús. Suenan melodías en mi ser, cantos de amor, loando al Salvador. Suenan melodías en mi ser, alabanzas a Jesús. Suenan melodías en mi ser, cantos de amor, loando al Salvador. Suenan melodías en mi ser, alabanzas a Jesús.
Glory to our God. We give thanks to our Lord. Brothers and sisters, may my God bless you all greatly. I know that the Lord today has given many blessings, thousands and millions of blessings to many. For the children and for all of you, a very big hug. May God bless you and see you soon. Thank you.